welcome to our service for Easter Day. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia, grace and peace be with you, and keep you in the love of Christ. Alleluia. Jesus Christ is risen today, our triumphant holy day, who did once upon the cross suffer to redeem our loss. Easter Kyries. Lord Jesus, you raised the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you give light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Easter Sunday. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter began to speak to those assembled in the house of Cornelius. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our second reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Easter morning is, of course, our commemoration of the first day of resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week. But we remember the whole of the Christ event by singing the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died." The Gospel reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder what is your most memorable experience of a morning after? I think for me, it was probably the morning after my final examinations in Oxford. University examinations were different in those days, or certainly they were at Oxford. Law finals consisted of 9 3-hour examinations in the space of about a week, on subjects one was supposed to have learned over the 2 preceding years. There had been no continuous assessment in those 2 years. Everything depended on remembering it all, revising like mad, and then putting everything down in the written exam. Now, however well or badly one had done, the pressure of the last few weeks was over, and one drifted through the next 2 sunny summer days, as I recall, in a mildly alcoholic haze, never rolling drunk, but never entirely sober, glad that it was all over. In Jerusalem, on this first day of the new week, it may have been much the same. All those pilgrims who had travelled up to the holy city, the pilgrims whose hopeful hosannas we heard on Palm Sunday, are packing up, presumably to travel home, saying goodbye to family and friends who came from other places. "See you next year, perhaps, or, for the luckier ones, see you at Pentecost." They may have resented the presence of the Roman soldiers and the cruel executions timed to coincide with the festival, and a few may have been disappointed, hoping for more from the rabbi from Nazareth. but they were mostly, probably, a happy crowd who'd enjoyed their holy day and were happy now to be heading home. For the apostles and disciples of Jesus, it is, though, a time of uncertainty, confusion, and fear. For 2 years, it was always he who had told them where they should be going, what they should be doing. He had encouraged them, of course, to take responsibility themselves, sending them out two by two to do the work of ministry. But in this moment of appalling crisis, they hardly know where they should go or what they should do next. And although it's clear that Peter, John, and James have the greatest stature in the group, it is by no means clear which of them would be able to say, "This is what we're going to do," and to persuade all the others to do it. For Mary Magdalene, though, the issue seems to have been simpler and more personal. The Lord whom she loves has been taken from her, but there are still things she can do for him, cleaning and anointing him for a decent burial, laying out, as we used to call it, a job which always fell to the women. So she heads out while it is still dark to find the place where they have laid him. She might have been afraid of the darkness. They all had reason to be afraid that the violence done to Jesus would spill over now onto those who'd followed him. But if she is afraid, the compulsion that drives her to find his body, to do the last things that she can for him, is stronger than her fear. Perhaps, indeed, the darkness is her friend. She chooses to go out before it's light, so that there is no chance that anyone will see her. But the stone is rolled away from the tomb, and it is empty. She naturally feels that someone must have been there before her. Someone must have taken him away. She rushes to tell Peter and the rest. They, unspecified they, have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. Perhaps she suspects the Romans, because the handling of dead bodies was a carefully regulated business in Judaism, requiring reverence and ritual washing afterwards. It would have been an irreligious thing for Jews simply to have discarded a body. At any rate, Mary returns with Peter and John, and they investigate the matter more carefully, making sure that the body is indeed definitely not there. Then the two apostles, we read, now more confused than ever, return home, wherever home was for them, in or near Jerusalem at Passover time. But Mary stays. In her grief and frustration, she stands weeping at the tomb. In John's Gospel, it's only a short time, of course, since we saw Jesus weeping with another Mary, Mary of Bethany, who was weeping for her brother Lazarus. It is in part why the crucifixion is such an important part of our faith. We do not follow a master with legions at his disposal to enforce his will, an all-conquering messianic hero figure bedecked with all the trappings of wealth and power. Rather, we follow one who entered Jerusalem on a quiet donkey and made his way to the cross of Golgotha, a God who knows what it is to weep, what it is to be wept for. We've spoken before, I sometimes think I speak about it every Easter time, we've spoken before about that moment when Mary hears her name on the lips of the Lord, whom she never thought that she would hear again. It tells us a crucial truth about our faith. This is, of course, a resurrection for all the world, a once-in-history event which offers hope for all time and to all places, to people of every tribe and language and of every nation and race. But it first becomes real in a conversation with just one woman. The new life which Jesus offers is for each one of us and every one of us. It is for each of us to discover what the resurrection of Jesus means to each of us. We belong to an Easter church, of course, and that is good. We belong to an Easter people, and that is wonderful. But each one of us is called to make Easter our own, to know what new life means in the shape of our own lives. Each one of us is called to listen, like Mary, for the voice of Jesus speaking our name. And each one of us is called to make our own response to him. These responses will differ wildly from person to person, from personality to personality. There will be more variety in heaven, wrote C.S. Lewis, than there ever would have been in hell. Just think even of just the three disciples we meet in this morning's story. The gentle, grieving, determined faith of Mary. The boldness and courage of Peter, who must get into things, must get into the tomb and touch and hold the wrapping cloths, not stay on the outside looking in. And then the wonderful, almost mystical creativity of John, who can write the many-layered narrative which we read again this morning and which we've followed in these recent weeks. The narrative in which we can find so many versions of ourselves, so many individual lives transformed by an encounter with the Lord. The worldly wise and worldly weary woman at the well. Busy, bustling Martha, standing, working, serving all the time. Mary from Bethany, kneeling, weeping, reflective at Jesus' feet. Lazarus, saved, made new, beside him at the table as the friend whom he loves. Out of the grief and sacrifice of the cross, there spring these new lives. There springs resurrection, life for each of them. New life, new joy, new hope, new meaning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, wrote Jeremiah. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And this morning of all mornings. Amen. Let us declare our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah, sing to Jesus, his the scepter, his the throne. Hark, the songs of peaceful Zion thunder like a mighty flood. Jesus, out of every nation, hath redeemed us by his blood.
Through.
Our prayers begin with the Lord's Prayer. Enter de honite in the nevoi, sanctedia de enu, dele de dernas, gunella de wishlis, megis in the nev, vechli ala veyar heavy. Deroni heavy when bara benudial, a maraini in de ledion, velamareunina in de ledwir. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth eithau gwared ni llaw drwg. Cynni seith o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Our intercessions today are led by Anthea.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. God, our Father, on this glorious Easter day, we come together to offer our praise and thanksgiving for Jesus, Jesus risen and alive, powerful and victorious, the salvation of the world. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Lord of life, we pray for all who bring your word of life as a light to those in darkness, for those who bring your word of peace to those enslaved by fear, for those who bring your word of love to those in need of comfort. Lord of love and Lord of peace, Lord of resurrection life, be known through our lives and through your power. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Creator God, as we greet the signs of spring, the songs of returning birds, the fields soon to be planted, we give you praise for an even greater sign of new life. The resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we celebrate today. The sadness and despair of his death has given way to the bright promise of immortality. For the resurrection is our guarantee that justice will triumph over treason, light will overcome darkness, and love will conquer death. We praise you in this Easter season. Change our lives. Change our hearts to be messengers of Easter joy and hope. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord forever. Amen. Lord, on this special day, we pray for peace in all those countries of the world where there is conflict and division. We remember especially the people of Ukraine and the divided peoples of the Holy Land. We pray for all those who seek to bring peace to a troubled world, for the service personnel and the aid agencies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in our own country who are facing financial difficulties and are worried about an uncertain future. May they know that they are not alone in their struggles and that you are always with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those in need, for the sick in mind, body or spirit, and for the lonely. Reach out and touch them, Lord, so they know that you are there and they are not alone in these dark times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Help all who mourn the loss of a loved one. Comfort them with the knowledge of your love, which is stronger than death." Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For me, and hail him out.
Easter blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.